welcome to the 415 podcast, another source to get some Niner news for you. I'm Niner Nate. I'll be your host every week. A little bit about me. I used to work in Seattle as Niner Nate, the biggest Niner fan in all of Seattle. I produced radio for 3 years, and I was the Niner voice in Seattle for a long time. And now I'm going to be the Niner voice for the Niner fans, and I'm super excited. I can't wait to see what happens with the season. The NFC champion, hopefully going to be the new Super Bowl champion. It's going to be a lot of fun, I hope. With me today is Rob Stats Guerrera. How you doing, man?
Good, Nate. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing all right. I mean, there's some bad news on the Niner front, but nothing is stopping this hype train. This hype train is nonstop all the way to the Super Bowl. The news is going to get bad here today a little bit, but this team, just seeing them in those pads on Twitter and Facebook and all these places, it just got me super excited. I'm really excited just to see what this team can do. And we got our boy George Kittle for the next 6 years, which is, that felt good. That was a nice little shot of adrenaline on Friday.
You are aggressively and relentlessly positive. I don't know that I've ever seen anything like you. Let's just say, as fans, you and I have a different style, okay?
There's nothing wrong with that. I say opposites attract and make things work, so we'll be good here. One thing I do want to say is, if you haven't already, the Niners posted a video of Mike McGlinchey talking about Celine Dion. It's pretty funny. You should definitely check that out. It got me a good chuckle, but you're going to need it after this. Big news today. Our boy Jalen Hurd, who he's only played a couple preseason games, but I mean, a lot of people really expected him to be the next breakout star on the Niners receiving core. Well, he tore his ACL today, and the hype train doesn't stop, but it was a little bit hard to take today, I think. How do you feel about it, Rob?
It was a little bit of a derailment, let's call it. Look, there are certain guys with this 49ers team that we all were waiting to see as fans, right? Trent Taylor was another guy we wanted to see. Guys that missed all last season that we thought were really going to play big roles. And then especially when Deebo Samuel blew up last year, we're like, hey, Kyle Shanahan really knows how to pick wide receivers. Can you imagine how good we'll be when this guy comes back? And we don't even get to the first day of padded practice, and he tears his ACL in a non-contact drill, and his entire 2020 season is gone.
I mean, and it's such a bummer to lose a guy like that, because, you know, thinking about this wide receiving core, they've never had a guy like that. Like, I can't think of the Harbaugh Niners having, I mean, Anquan Boldin, but, like, he was a big dude. He loved contact, much like our tight end. But at the same time, like, the guy, what he showed in that Cowboy game, I mean, he aggressively got 2 touchdowns, and he literally took the ball out of a corner's hand to the point where it was my ball, much like with Deebo, but he was just bigger. And having a guy like that on a Kyle Shanahan-led offense, it was going to be so exciting. And it hurts to know, you know, I'm worried that we might not ever see him.
Oh, I agree. I mean, Kyle said on Monday that he thinks he expects Hurd back next year. But I mean, that's just something you say on this day, the same day that or a couple days after he gets hurt, you're not going to say he's definitely gone. But I agree. I think we may never see Jalen Hurd suit up in a regular season game for the 49ers.
No Deebo, no Richie James, now no Jalen Hurd. Like, this wide receiving core is deteriorating quick. And like, yeah, we got Trent Taylor back. He's going to play slot, and that's awesome. But right now, they're going to put some expectations on Brandon Ayuk. I don't think he's ready for, you know, yes, he played for Herm Edwards, and I think that's a pretty good NFL-led system, and I think he's going to be a stud. I really like Brandon Ayuk, but him being the number one guy on a team right on his first year, it scares me a little bit. And Deebo, they said, is going to come back after 3 weeks. It's just, there's so much expectations now on guys like Ayuk and Kendrick Bourne. And don't get me wrong, I love me some Kendrick Bourne. The guy has more energy than I do, and that's saying something. But these guys are unproven in a way that I don't think we expected coming into this season, you know?
Absolutely not. And Kyle Shanahan said something last year that I thought was interesting when they got to the Super Bowl. He basically said, look, on offense, I can scheme it up. I'll make it work. I can move guys around and get guys open. On defense, if you don't have the players, you can't scheme up a dominant defense. You need guys to just beat people physically. Well, guess what, Kyle? Three receivers are down, and we haven't even finished a week of padded practice. So you best get to scheming.
I mean, they're going to run the ball a lot, I think. That's the one thing. And I think if we're talking about pass catchers, you know, obviously there's only so much you can go from with like a lot of these Twitter people. But Jerick McKinnon could potentially be a really good weapon for this team in the passing game.
That's what Shanahan hopes. And remember, when Jerick McKinnon got hurt 2 years ago, Kyle said he has to significantly change the offense because he had so many plays that were built around McKinnon's skill set. Well, McKinnon hopefully is back and hopefully stays healthy. So now maybe we get to see some of those things that Kyle had to take out 2 years ago.
You know, the question I wanted to ask you, Rob, is, you know, we know George Kittle's the man, right? I don't think any Niner fan thinks that George Kittle wasn't completely deserving of that contract. But the amount of pressure that's going to be on him, is he going to have to step it up even more this season to make up for the fact that, you know, we're not going to start with Debo, and now we don't have Jalen, and Ayuk is a rookie, Juwan Jennings is a rookie, Kendrick Bourne is just a guy. I mean, like, he's fun and I love him, but he's not like the stud wide receiver we need right now.
I absolutely think Kittle has to step up. Look, Jerry Jones has a saying. His saying is, if you're okay if you pay a premium, but you have to get a premium in return. Well, George Kittle's not on a fifth-round rookie deal anymore. He's the highest paid tight end in the history of football. And if I've got that guy on my team, I need more from him. I need him to score more than 5 touchdowns in a season, which is something George Kittle has never done in his entire career. He's got to be 10, 11, maybe even 12 touchdowns this year, especially with the injuries to the wide receiver core. Otherwise, it's going to put a lot of pressure on the 49ers to get production out of their other positions, the cheaper positions, frankly.
Yeah, and the thing is people are going to double team, you know, Kittle constantly, but I think the one thing the Niners have that, you know, a lot of other teams don't have is they have Shanahan. Shanahan's going to scheme Kittle open constantly. And I think the other point is the quarterback. I mean, Garoppolo has to step up as well. Like, that's the thing, is your veteran players have to step up when you're dealing with rookies. And this Niners team is going to be really unproven on offense to start the season. And it's going to come down to, you know, Garoppolo, Kittle. I hope McKinnon, but I mean, he's still pretty unproven. And then Raheem Mostert. I think that's where a lot of your pressure is going to be. But I think Garoppolo has to improve this year for this team to go back to the Super Bowl. Absolutely. Because he was fine last year. I don't think anybody's going to say Jimmy Garoppolo was bad, but I think his interceptions are bad. When he throws an interception, it is bad. And like, there's never one where it's like, oh, you know, that wasn't too bad of a throw. He just got unlucky. No, when Jimmy Garoppolo throws interceptions, it's very bad. And it just feels like sometimes he's not even seeing the field properly, but he has to step up. And it seems like one thing I've seen from a lot of the videos is him and Ayuk are practicing a lot. You know, they're playing a lot together. The highlight videos, you know, you can go from so many highlight videos. I wish I could be at the Niners stadium right now watching practice, but it seems like Ayuk and Garoppolo are getting that rapport already.
Billy did work out together earlier in the offseason, so it is nice to see, especially because, like you said, so much is going to be expected of Ayuk early in the year. Now, let me ask you this. Garoppolo was plugging along last year, and he was doing okay, but the team clearly recognized they needed someone at wide receiver. Well, we're kind of in the same spot this year. We've already seen 3 receivers go down. They brought in Tavon Austin and J.J. Nelson. Do you think John Lynch is working the phones right now? As we record this, is John Lynch kind of hunting around the league and saying, maybe we need to find one more wide receiver?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think the report this morning was that Jerron Brown was coming in. I know who Jerron Brown is working in Seattle. I know exactly who Jerron Brown is working in Seattle. I don't think that's a guy who's going to fill that spot. I think one thing Twitter is good about is people like to guess what they might do. There is some guys they could potentially be calling. I mean, Marvin Jones up in Detroit and Corey Davis in Tennessee. Those guys, you can bring them in. I don't think you're spending second round picks on those guys, though. I think you're trying to spend lower round picks and just get another guy on that offense. And I think one person I need that needs to step up as well that we haven't even talked about is Dante Pettis.
Who? I'm like, Kyle Shanahan hates Dante Pettis. He trashed him at every opportunity last year.
I know, but he has the talent. I think, you know, he came to practice. I think he came to camp last year underweight or overweight or something along those lines. And he, every once in a while, we would see like a little flash, you know? It was the Pittsburgh game, the last touchdown, Dante. The Arizona Cardinals game, he had two touchdowns, I think. Like every once in a while, Dante pops up. It's just he needs to take that next step to make the Niner fans really appreciate him and his skill set. And he hasn't done that. And if he doesn't do it this season, I mean, he's gone, right? Like, there's no way he keeps him. If, you know, the way Kyle Shanahan benched him in the Super Bowl, didn't even use him. There's so many guys that need to step up that you could, if you're Kyle, you could say, you know, instead of going out and spending my draft picks, I can give this guy another shot, or, you know, try and work with this guy. And the minute you see that it's just not happening, you know, if we're 4 or 5 games in the season, it's still not happening, then you maybe pull a trigger on a trade with, you know, Detroit or Tennessee or someone. There's not a lot of guys like Emmanuel Sanders out there that I think you're going to be able to get for cheap draft picks, you know?
There are a couple of guys out there you could get for nothing but money. One is Dez Bryant, who, of course, hasn't played since 2017.
Dez.
And the other, and I don't want this guy to be anywhere near the team.
Oh, no, I know it's coming.
But there's a 4-time All-Pro who's a free agent right now. His name is Antonio Brown. Now, he's suspended for the first 8 games of the season, but, I mean, he's available and he wouldn't cost you a draft pick.
I just don't want that guy in a Super Bowl team's locker room. Josh Gordon also comes to mind. I think he's a free agent as well. But there's one thing you notice about the Niners, even when you're just watching them on TV, is this team generally likes each other and they have really good chemistry. And you bring in a guy like that into that locker room, I just worry that it messes everything up, you know? These guys generally like and care for each other, and Antonio Brown is such a dramatic, is such a problem that I would worry about it hurting them in the long term.
Yeah, I agree. Josh Gordon, it was a long time since he led the league in receiving yards. He had over 1,600 yards in 2013, and he only played in 14 games that year, which is insane. And he was on the Browns, which makes it even crazier. But you know, it's 2020 now, so we're a long way removed from that, especially in NFL years.
He was with the Seahawks last year, I think. He caught a couple passes that were pretty good, but then I think he was with the Patriots the year before. But I mean, if they just need a guy, like, that's the thing, is nobody coming in, no Dez Bryant, no Antonio Brown, no Josh Gordon, you know, not even a guy they trade for is going to be their number one, I don't think. I think Debo's the number one, no matter what. The thing that they're looking for is someone else to where they're not relying on Kendrick Bourne constantly. And having to deal with, you know, having, you know, for Ayuk to be an All-Pro his first year. And I sent you a text earlier. I think Juwan Jennings could potentially be a fun option. I don't want to put a lot of expectations on the guy because, you know, he was a 6th-round pick?
I think 7th, actually.
7th-round pick. The one stat I sent you, and I think this is probably me cherry-picking a little bit, is he had the most missed tackles forced by any NFL draft eligible wide receivers last year. And that includes CeeDee Lamb. Juwan Jennings had 30 and CeeDee Lamb had 26. So, I mean, that could be a stat that means nothing. But it could also mean a stat that is something that sets up Juwan Jennings for success.
Man, the 217th pick in the draft, and you're hyping him up already. You are the conductor of the 49ers hype train. It is out of control.
It is going to go all season until we're hosting that trophy and Handsome Jimmy and Jim and George Kittle are sitting there with that trophy in their hand. The hype train's going all year. No worries. But we still got to be a little bit, you know, got to look at things a little bit. I mean, there are problems. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, there's things that scare me with this wide receiver core for sure. I think people are hyping up Ayuk a little bit too much. I really do. I think Grant Cohen was like, these my favorite wide receivers I saw this week, and Ayuk was his number one. And I was like, slow down just a little bit. Don't get me so excited yet. If he can step up and become the guy and just ball out and Debo comes back and then you have Ayuk and Debo, then you're dealing with something pretty nasty because you still have George Kittle and you still have that monster Kyle Shanahan run game. But until we get to that point, you know, there's only so much speculation you can do during training camp about, you know, a guy who, yes, he was a first round pick and yes, he's very fast, but I don't, you know, even last year, I was like, I was super excited about Debo, but I waited to, you know, to see it in the season.
Can you remember a Super Bowl contender? And obviously the 49ers are, where they have a unit of their team that is so unpredictable. Basically, it's so uncertain. We don't really know what to expect from these guys. And we're not talking about a team that's going to go 8-8 this year. We're talking about a team that could legitimately be in the Super Bowl for the second year in a row.
Well, working in Seattle, I can tell you that offensive line, you Ooh. Never knew what they were going to do on a day-to-day basis. And they
that's
were
fair.
They were a perennial Super Bowl contender. I don't want to talk about them too much, but they were always a perennial Super Bowl contender as long as they had Russell Wilson. And that offensive line one day would be amazing and the next night would be terrible. And so that's the thing, is consistency with the Niners defense is what's going to keep them in games and keep them on that path to the Super Bowl. And the defense is still stacked. It's absolutely stacked. And if Kinlaw is anything like he's advertised, we could be dealing with someone who might actually be better than DeForest Buckner a couple of years down the line. Guy's huge, and he had a better he was a better pass rusher than Buckner was coming out of college.
Yes, but Buckner is bigger than Kinlaw, though. Buckner's like 6'8", something like that. Kinlaw's heavier. He's got like I think Kinlaw's like 315. Buckner's not quite that heavy. But in terms of height, I mean, Buckner was a bigger dude. But I want to see more from Kinlaw before I'm driving that train with you. I mean,
I'm trying not to drive the train too much on the rookies. That's my honest to God thing, is not to get too excited. But man, it's been so long since we had 49ers football. I can't help it. And seeing these videos of these guys and that put on pads today, it was so exciting. And then the Herb news comes through and you're like, well, man, you got to pump the brakes just a little bit, just a tad.
The 49ers, I think, were like the third most injured team in the league last year, something like that, with all the time that they missed. And, you know, part of me was like, well, they can't possibly have another year where that all that happens to them. And we haven't even started yet. And the guys are dropping like flies.
It's wild that it's happened every year, too. It doesn't matter. I think they changed the health coaches, like, what, 2 years ago now? And it's still happening. That's the thing. But the thing is, my biggest thing with San Francisco is not only are their starters, you know, top-tier players, but a lot of these guys behind them come in and they perform. And that's why they've been able to be so successful last year. And so the thing is now is, with these receivers getting injured, are these injuries going to affect them to the point where, you know, we see them struggle a lot on offense, or are they just going to have the next guy up mentality? Like, I don't think they have a next guy up on wide receiver. Like, that's my biggest fear. If Debo goes down for a longer than 3 weeks, like, Ayuk has to step up. He's a rookie. Kendrick Bourne has to step up. Like, he's never been this phenomenal wide receiver. Like, the injury thing on offense is what scares me the most for them being Super Bowl contenders, for sure. It's all on Jimmy and it's all on guys to step up on that wide receiver core, for sure.
Yeah, I trust Kyle to scheme it up and to rely on the run game. And like you said, the depth is incredible. And Shanahan said it himself before last season. He said this was the first year where he felt like they could sustain some injuries because the depth was so great. Well, the depth is being tested now. And my worry is, okay, they can make it work, but what if Juszczyk gets nicked again for a few games like he did last year? Or Kittle, God forbid, misses a few games like he did last year.
Don't say that. Knock on some wood somewhere. Don't say that. No, Kittle has to play 16 games this year.
Like, at some point, though, there is a tipping point. Eventually, you can't overcome the losses, even with great coaching and great quarterback. Like, eventually, it becomes too much. So let's hope that we don't reach that tipping point, but I mean, they're on their way right now, and they haven't even played a single snap in the regular season.
Absolutely. And that's the biggest thing is, you know, I hate training camp. I love Hard Knocks, but I hate training camp because, you know, you wake up and you check your phone to see if anybody got injured. That's the first thing you do every day. And it shouldn't be that way. Like, that shouldn't be the thing we're afraid of. You know, we should be enjoying the fact that there's, you know, these guys are about to go play. And the fact that we have a top tier team in the NFL, like, how many years were the Niners terrible in the 2000s?
Too many.
Almost the whole 2000s, right? Like, there was never a time where the Niners were good. Like, you turned them on because you were faithful. But now, you know, they're perennial Super Bowl contender, and they could be for multiple years as long as Kyle Shanahan's there. And, you know, Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch got extended. These are the guys. This is the team they're building. And I feel like as fans, we kind of just have to ride with it. But at the same time, you know, if things get really bad on the wide receiving core, when do we start to think, oh, hey, maybe we should have gone and got a Jerry Jeudy? Like, hopefully the fans don't, you know, just give up on these guys so fast, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think getting to a Super Bowl last year buys you at least a little bit of time, you would like to think. You know, you mentioned the 49ers history. It's been, even the last 10 years, they were a game over 500, 80-79-1. They've had four 10-win seasons, five 10-loss seasons. They've played in four NFC championship games, and they've got two Super Bowl appearances. Like, it is such a weird feast or famine for this team. And exactly. Last year, it was feast, but we've seen a lot of teams that lose the Super Bowl that don't make the playoffs the next year, including one in our own division last season, the Rams.
Technically, now in the new playoff system, the Rams would have made the playoffs last year.
Yeah,
so that is one thing to think about. But yeah, no, totally. And that's the thing is, this Niner team doesn't win if Jimmy Garoppolo is not the quarterback. It's so weird because he's not Patrick Mahomes. He's not Deshaun Watson. You know, he's not this top-tier quarterback. But they don't win unless Jimmy Garoppolo is the quarterback. So first and foremost, having a healthy Jimmy Garoppolo for 16 games again. That's number one. Next, having George Kittle be there and just block his butt off, right? I mean, he's the best blocking tight end. He's the best receiving tight end. He's the guy, right? Then maybe having guys step up. Charlie Warner, Ross Dwelly, having those guys step up, right? So that's your tight end group. Your running back group is probably pretty stout, right? You know, you have Jerick McKinnon now who, I mean, we don't know what he is, but if we look at what he's been, he's really good. He can come in and do stuff right away. And then we have Raheem Mostert, who we just gave another extension to, just gave him more money. You know, I think they just gave him more money on the extension they already gave him. But, you know, they spent more money there. The wide receiving core, there's really no money in it. It's all young guys. And so stepping up, I think that's honestly, if we're looking at anything coming into these next couple weeks, it's seeing guys step up. And the problem is we have no preseason games. So it's all going to be hearsay. Because I'm not at the practices. I don't know if you're at the practices, Rob.
I'm in Connecticut.
Yeah, see? Exactly. That was my point. None of us are going to be at these practices to really see what's going on. So, you know, week one at home against Arizona is going to be where we see what happens. And it's going to be all speculation up until that point. And that's the biggest problem.
That is the maybe. And we don't really know for sure. But that could be the saving grace for this team. Because if you look at the early schedule, it's not the gauntlet that we saw last year at times. They start with Arizona, and then they play the two New York teams in New York back-to-back, the Jets and the Giants. So that's a start where they can maybe work through some of the problems, sort of like we saw last year. Early in the season, they were not the same team that they were in December.
When they blew out Cincinnati. And that Buccaneers game was very close, and then they played Cincinnati, and they blew them out. And then that Pittsburgh game, what, they turned the ball over five times and still won? It was very much a different schedule, last year than it was than it is this year. I mean, the Jets and the Giants are terrible. Like, you can't tell me that those teams are going to come in and have any chance against a team that was in the Super Bowl. I just don't see it. And then you play the Eagles on Sunday Night Football. That's your first real test.
Yes.
But the one thing you said that kind of, you know, closing out on this, the Arizona Cardinals aren't anything to just scoff about, I don't think. I really don't think that they're going to be an easy win that first week.
They did give the 49ers a game both times last season. That offense, I think, is just a bad matchup for the 49ers defense. But I don't think Cliff Kingsbury knows a damn thing about defense, like, at all.
Their defense is awful, and it's going to be awful again this year because I still think they're a year away on defense. But we can't forget, like, I think people... A lot of Niner fans are forgetting DeAndre Hopkins is one of the best receivers in this league. And he has a guy at quarterback who not only is faster than Russell Wilson, but is younger. And I mean, he has upside. Like, we know who Russell Wilson is. He's one of the best quarterbacks in the league. And we know what we're dealing with. I think we still don't know what Kyler Murray is all the way yet.
No, he's awesome. I think he's going to be a huge problem in the NFC West for a long time to come. but he doesn't play defense. So as much as the Cardinals score, I think the 49ers are going to be able to score just as much, because I think Kyle Shanahan's going to just go up and down the field on them. And, you know, maybe they'll all be shootouts, and I guess you could say anything that happens. But I, as much as they gave the 49ers trouble last season, I don't see the 49ers losing with extra time to prepare week one against Arizona at home.
Oh, yeah. I don't see them losing for the first five or six games.
You don't see them losing ever. Let's be
no,
honest.
No. There's losses on the schedule. Don't do that to me.
What's the first loss on the schedule?
Okay, give me a second. Let me pull up the schedule. The Saints, November 15th, I think, is the first loss they suffer. I think the Eagles game is the closest thing they come to a loss. Although, with the Patriots, I don't know. The Patriots are kind of a wild card. That could be a loss. I don't think they're going to lose to Seattle. I just don't think they're this team that is going to be the Legion of Boom 2.0 like a lot of the Seahawk fans are saying right now. But I don't know. Like, there's just so many unknowns right now because we get no preseason games, and it's the most annoying thing in the world. Like, we would have had one already. We should have had one last week.
Yeah, I go back and forth, right? Because my first thought was, no preseason games. Awesome. Nobody's going to get hurt. Whoops.
Yeah. You're still going to get hurt because that's what training camp is. And so the thing is, like, without any preseason games, the fans don't really get the chance to see, you know, the actual... I mean, I know preseason games are super vanilla, but it's better than watching the Niners videos or the Niners beat writers videos they're posting on Twitter.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a season like no other. I certainly don't mind going into Seattle and into New Orleans when the stadium is going to be maybe 25% full, if that.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And that's the thing is the New Orleans game was really scary when I saw it on the schedule, and then COVID happened, or, like, you know, you started to realize that COVID was going to be a thing and there wasn't going to be fans in the stands. And you're like, okay, well, New Orleans isn't going to be very loud, and we're better than that Saints team. Like, I don't think the Niners are worse than that Saints team at all. I mean, they proved it last year they were better. Right now, I have San Francisco repeating the 13-3. So,
and the three losses are?
Seattle, Arizona.
That's like the Atlanta game from last year. Okay.
There's something about that Arizona team, man. I don't know what it is. They just scare me more than the Seahawks do sometimes. And then the third one, only because it's in New England and weird stuff happens, the New England Patriots.
Yeah, you know, if they didn't get Cam, I would say I think the Niners would win. But I'm fascinated to see how Belichick attacks Shanahan's offense. And look, Cam, if Cam is healthy, he's really good. Not just like good, like he's MVP level good. So we'll have to wait and see on that. But that could be, you're right, a scary matchup. You know what else I think is a sneaky tough matchup? Week 13, Monday Night Football on ESPN, Buffalo. Sean McDermott is a good coach. You realize he's gotten to the playoffs multiple years with the Bills? Nobody does that. Marv Levy was like the last guy to do that. And McDermott's there, and he's a really good coach. They just locked him up. They got Stephon Diggs on offense. If they get anything out of Josh Allen, the Bills are going to be a real, just a pain, give you all you can handle every week.
Yeah, I think that is totally a chance to be a loss, just like I think that Saints game is a chance. I don't think Green Bay is a threat at all. This team is going to be in it no matter what, I think. No, you know, we're going to podcast and talk every week about, you know, problems the team's having and the receiving corps. They're going to be in every game. That's what Shanahan has brought. And that's what this defense allows them to be. This defense is so good. Whether or not they take a step back, they're so talented with Bosa, Armstead, Kinlaw, I hope. D Ford, I mean, and their linebacking core is still insane. Like, I don't think people realize how good Fred Warner was last year. And that's the thing is, they are afforded a thing that a lot of NFL teams don't have because their defense is so good that they're going to be in every game, no matter what. I think that may be a hot take, but I think any Niner fan would agree with me.
I agree. Fred Warner has been the best linebacker in that division since the start of last season, and I don't think he's given up that title anytime soon.
Exactly. People talk about Bobby Wagner, and I think that Fred Warner's better now, and people tell me I'm wrong. The hype train keeps going, baby. Fred Warner's the best linebacker in football.
Fred Warner's the best linebacker in football. Jimmy Garoppolo is never going to throw an interception. Raheem Mostert's going to run for 2,000 yards, and Brandon Ayuk is going to be the best rookie since Randy Moss.
That's not, I don't, that's, I did not say any of that.
Yeah.
But I mean, if that happened, it would be amazing. That's all I'm saying is it, you're coming to the 415 podcast to get hyped on 49er football because we're going to the Super Bowl, baby. And that's how we're going to start every week. We're going to the Super Bowl. Keep that mentality every week. But real quick, before we stop today, I just want to shout out to one of my favorite quarterbacks of all time, Alex Smith. I don't know if you saw the video this week. The guy went back to practice. I'm so excited for him. I know it didn't work out in San Francisco, but I just want to end today on a good news, on just a little bit of good news. Kill it. Go kill it, Alex Smith. Go take Dwayne Haskins' job, buddy. Like, it's awesome. I don't know if you saw the pictures of his leg. That was disgusting, and he was able to overcome that, and that's amazing.
Yeah, people might not know. That's the same injury that ended Joe Theismann's career, which everyone knows. But Theismann had one surgery on his knee. Alex Smith had 17 surgeries.
Oh, was it 17? Oh, my God. I didn't know it was 17. I thought it was two. I was like, oh.
No, no. 17 surgeries because there was an infection. And at one point, doctors were worried about having to amputate his leg. And then they were worried about him just straight up dying. And to see him not only recover from that, but to be cleared and to get back on the field, if you're not rooting for Alex Smith this year, you have no soul.
Exactly. And that's why I wanted to end today's podcast with that. It may not work down in San Francisco, but every Niner fan, root for Alex Smith. Root for him to take Dwayne Haskins' job.
Take that, Dwayne.
Yeah, take that, Dwayne. And I think that's it for us this week. No more injuries, please. Injury gods, no more injuries. And no, stop retiring. The Spencer Long retired. Stop retiring. You're on a team that's going to the Super Bowl, baby. Come on.